The following podcast contains adult themes and adult language. Listener discretion advised.
And although we joke, if you or someone you know is affected by or a victim of domestic violence, dial 1-800-799-7233 or visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline's website, thehotline.org.
It's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband, I don't keep it.
Hi everybody, this is Sarah.
And this is Megan.
And you are listening to It's Always the Husband podcast.
Welcome! Can you hear that fake cheer in my voice?
Mine too.
That
clearly
is the fake cheer of someone who has survived only three days in the classroom, listeners. And I feel like I'm dead.
You've only had 3 days?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had open house day, a whole day of open house.
Whoops. I've had five.
I know.
5 days. Actually, I'm going to say my deodorants are quite pleasant.
What?
I can't even believe that I'm saying it. They're quite pleasant. I might make it this year. I might.
I'm so happy.
I know.
For you.
Yeah. It's a real turn of events.
And I mean, I thought it was going off the rails at your open house night when you were describing the people who were coming to you. But it turns out they're okay.
Yes, overall.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for you.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
I have a class of 50 boys.
That sounds fun.
And one girl.
That sounds excellent. Like an excellent makeup of deodorant. Excellent makeup.
Some of them are like full-grown men who work 40 hours a week already and live off of caffeine pills and just come to school because they're basically legally bound to. I've learned so much.
You'll learn much more, I'm sure.
And I've learned about mullets.
Yeah.
I've learned about Wrangler jeans. I've heard a lot of discussion about what type of truck is best, the Ford versus the Chevy versus the Ram. I've heard arguments over tools. DeWalt versus Milwaukee.
Oh.
And a kid told me today that he would bring in his favorite coffee for our coffee bar. And he said, I'll bring in I don't even remember what it was. And I said, ooh, is that good? And he said, let's just put it this way. Make sure you have a bathroom right by you. I was like,
maybe don't bring that in, because we don't.
I died of laughter. Oh, I was like, he's already speaking my shit language.
Yes, he knows.
He knows. He knows who I am inside. Oh, him and that mullet. He knows. So that's...
Well, good. It'll get better. It's a new change,
better. That's a mosquito, Sarah.
I know. There's bugs.
Oh, I killed it. Okay.
Good job.
It's dead in my computer crack now. Okay. Anything happen this weekend for you?
No, I'm still working on my book, trying to get all 1,000 pages read. I think I have 180 pages left. I'm trying hard.
So you got out of Nelly duty because Phil decided to stay home from our weekend getaway.
Oh, your family trip? So he had another weekend without kids?
Yeah. And then your poor Rachel had to take care of Molly, who is Nut Bar's dog.
And was shitting blood and puking blood. And so Rachel was all a tither.
Poor Rachel.
Didn't know what to do and was hysterical. I don't know what to do.
Cassie said, LaRache is my hero.
We drove her all over to ER and no one would take her. I said, you even said she's currently vomiting blood. No one would take her.
No.
So what was worse? I don't know.
I think
sad.
Being the babysitter and having to clean up the blood shit and blood poop in your own new apartment. Or was she at Cassie's?
She was at Cassie's.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay.
I think.
Well, then I would have
sure
left
she was
it.
At Cassie's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope she left it for Nut Bar.
I don't know. I was sad.
I don't know. Yeah. Apparently, she just has the flu.
Oh, that doesn't sound right to me. That doesn't seem normal.
This is Cam's message to Cassie. Molly most likely has what Tracy, who is their vet sister-in-law, said. She's very dehydrated and is feeling really sick.
So well, she's dehydrated because she's been vomiting all of her blood out and pooping blood. Yeah,
they kept her all day at the vet to give her fluids, and they're going to give her an x-ray to make sure she didn't eat something weird. And she's getting some antibiotics. And
well,
she's going to get better. She's not going to die. Yeah, that's what the news is.
We don't need more pets dropping dead.
No more dead dogs. Or cats.
I know.
Poor Tiffany had to put down her
foster cat. She did a shitty job fostering that cat.
Mm-hmm. Jeez. Another one bites the dust. I know.
God. Well, we have some Patreons.
We do?
Yeah, we have a new Momoa.
Yes, shot glass coming your way.
Lindsay Haldeman. So Lindsay, welcome. I'll send you some stuff. And then we have two upgraded Momoas, Heidi Posada, we know, and Stephanie Canada from last week.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited.
And then Kylie W. and Kit Kat upgraded to 15s. So I just wanted to say thank you to them, too.
Thank you. Yeah. So many shot glasses.
Strong man as strong as alone.
It's our September extravaganza for our Patreon for the month of September. We're about halfway through. Anyone who either upgrades to a Momoa or a Rob Lowe or joins at a Momoa or a Rob Lowe gets a free shot glass. And it's always the husband shot glass made by our very own Kristen Roberts. So, at the end of the month, we will assess the situation and send those out as a little fall gift for everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be great. So we
thank
have
you
those.
So, much
so
for
we'll
your
do
support.
A little Momoa shout out for those three.
We will also be doing some lives on our Patreon. Is that how we do it? A live on our Patreon feed?
I don't remember.
We don't really know how.
I think so. No.
But we are taking a girls' getaway at the end of September, and so we'll have some highlights of our trip for you, and hopefully you can tune in to our shenanigans.
Yeah.
Patreons.
I don't know how to do it on there, but we can figure it out, I guess.
Yeah.
Putting video on Patreon is not easy. You have to go through another outside, app.
Well, we have 2 weeks to figure it out, Sarah.
Yeah.
We have to give the people what they pay for. Which is pictures of listener Beth puking.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Into the toilet and sleeping next to it.
Yes.
Amy taking care of everyone and filling up their water, even though she's ham boned.
Yeah.
And Nut Bar screaming at people and doing the splits.
Yeah. And threatening people.
You laying in the bathtub watching Beth puke.
Yeah.
Tiffany, sleeping God only in the knows. Closet. Yeah. Who knows where Tiffany will be?
We don't know.
Probably we left her at the bar.
Yeah.
Dancing.
Porking
or dancing.
A mailman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone who she... Yeah. who walks her way, obviously, is what will happen. And poor Christina is missing it. What's Kelly Maupin going to... Kelly Maupin loves to just sow on chips and tap the tater when we get home from bars. Yeah. It's the best. We both really love it. It's going to be a fun time. Get ready.
Oh, well, it will be good. We'll try to put that on there.
A getaway. A good-away or a getaway?
Yeah. Both.
So what's up with your... Facebook funny this week. Did you find one?
I did. I just did from today from Jamie Segerstrom. I think that's how it is. Where He-Man is shown, of course.
Oh, yes.
Close to my heart is He-Man. It was a good one because it reminds of childhoods of people our age or my age. And it's He-Man laying face down with a bike that's all broke to shit. And it says, back in the day, we didn't wear helmets. We just lie there unconscious until we were called in for dinner and miraculously shuck it off. Which is so true. Because we didn't wear helmets. And so There was another comment there too, like that said she would make fun of people who wore helmets. And of course we did. If someone had to wear a helmet in the early 80s or late 70s, we called them a goddamn asshole.
Yeah.
Why are you wearing that? And what's wrong with you?
Did they
Why
even
are you
exist?
So goddamn dumb? Of course they didn't exist. You'd have to put like a bucket on your head if your parents made you. You didn't wear a goddamn helmet. What the hell? Nobody, imagining. Any kind of self-respect, put a goddamn helmet on their
no.
head. Riding your Huffy
no.
or your banana yeah. seat bike with mm-hmm. a flag.
God, I always wanted a banana seat.
I know. I don't know if I had one or not. I don't think I did. My sister, though, should have had a helmet. I remember being at home. My sister, Natalie, she was probably, I don't know, 7. So I was probably 12. And I was home with my dad. So my mom, I think, was grocery shopping. I think if I remember it right. And the doorbell rang. And I never liked answering the doorbell mm-hmm. ever. I still to this day don't.
No.
And I answered it. And it was all sorts of ladies, like moms of the neighborhood on our street. And then one was carrying my sister.
Natale?
Yeah. Who was, her entire face was blood. Like
no,
Carrie.
Oh, like Carrie.
Yeah. Like just blood. Her entire face was bloody. And she was kind of like. And I didn't know what to do. So I think I ran downstairs where my dad was. And I got my dad, who was a total like dad that you see blood and he runs away screaming like in a high pitched scream. And is useless. So she just had my dad who's screaming and running away and me who just couldn't even say anything. And I think we took her in the basement and brought her down in the basement and said, you know, and one of the moms said she fell off her bike. And then finally what we got out of it is she was riding her bike and hit like a pop can
yeah. oh.
and the bike stopped and she flew over the handlebars and just landed forehead first and skidded across the street and
I've
cut her
it.
Forehead mm-hmm. really deep and like your yeah. head bleeds so bad. Of course, like my mom was gone. Nobody, I didn't know what to do. So I think I just put a rag on her head or something. My dad was screaming somewhere. And then my mom came home and was like, I had to put away the groceries. That's pretty much what she said. And it was like, I got shit to do. And so nobody helped her, I don't think. And she has a big scar on her forehead.
No, she never got
stitches. We never went anywhere. No. So, I don't remember taking her in. And then my dad hit me with a shovel when I was like 5. He was gardening, and it wasn't his fault. It was mine. I bent down to get a worm in the garden because he was tilling it
oh,
with
God,
a shovel.
Gross.
And he went up with the shovel, and I bent down, and the shovel went right into my eye, through my eyebrow into my eye. And then, of course, my dad threw the shovel down and screamed like Homer Simpson at the top of his lungs and ran away. So I remember I had to find, and blood was pouring all in my eyes. So I had to find my way up to the, through the yard, up to the deck, into the house. And then my mom said, now I got to take a shower because she had to bring me to the doctor. So my mom goes into the shower and I remember waiting, like bleeding profusely with a shovel that was in my eye and holding my eye closed and together. And so I remember she took a shower and I thought, can we just go with you dirty?
Yeah.
I feel like we need to go. No, and then we went to the hospital and I had to have stitches. I have a scar on my eyebrow, but I had to wear an eye patch to kindergarten
no.
for 2 weeks.
Oh,
how
no.
How embarrassing.
Well, it's better than a helmet, I guess.
No helmets, though.
Mm-mm.
So that's why it spoke to me, I guess. My Facebook funny.
That's yeah. really
good. Just horrible, terrible accidents.
I think I'm like your dad.
Yeah, just he would see blood and like teeth falling out.
Oh,
he couldn't
God,
handle it
yes.
at all and would just take off.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I feel like I'm probably.
And my mom was just like, oh, what are you going to do? Throw
well,
it away.
She's just mad because it inconvenienced yes,
it was,
her.
Of course yeah. it was. She had to do everything by herself.
Yeah.
Her husband was taking off and running away.
Yeah.
screaming.
I get it.
I did you say yours?
I didn't say mine yet. I had a couple. First of all, Michelle Goldner put the woman with the sword through her neck.
That's a good one.
I loved it because it was like, oh, she's got a sword through her neck, but she's a mom, so she still has to read everybody a bedtime story.
Of course. And then she's like, I have to take a shower now,
yes.
too.
And then some things just sometimes moms just smell.
Yeah.
Because it's too many things. And yeah, I don't know. It's rough out there, you guys, being a mom.
It is.
I also liked somebody put the picture of the Taurus car and then They had like stuck clit.
Oh my God.
Above Taurus. So it said Ford clitoris. And I liked that.
I guess of that's course. Clever. You did.
Because of my dirty mind.
You have one.
Those were mine.
Well, those are pretty good.
I've been entertained.
What was your glitter for your shitter this week?
My glitter and my shitter was our family farm party. My little sister, who doesn't have a nickname, has a farm, Medicine Creek Farm. And I went up there the night before. We rented a camper and we stayed. That was kind of the shits of it. Because yeah. I was so tired from work.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Then I had to sleep in a camper.
That's not your... Which, by the way... It's not pleasant for you.
It's not pleasant for anyone. No. Camper, it's a board.
Yeah.
With a glorified...
It's better than
mattress,
the ground.
I guess, but I would never sleep on the ground. And then I got to relive my childhood. I mowed.
I can't believe it.
Because I say mowed.
Yeah.
They have a rider mower, so I just...
A rider?
Yeah. Shh. Well, have you... You've seen how big it is. It took me hours. I had to do everything that's grass, so I just cracked a beer and rode around, and I got stuck twice on some shitty hidden hills and...
Oh, yeah.
Mounds of dirt and...
Poop mounds.
So that, and then we country danced and I two-stepped with my dad.
That's nice.
Yeah. It was fun. It's the best potluck you've ever been to.
It is good.
A bunch of farm foodies, and they all bring their best stuff.
I didn't go because we had to get a couch delivered because our other couch is a steel, supposed to be very supportive steel frame, and we broke it because of the fatness. I broke it because of my fatness. So we had to get a new couch, and it was delivered. Because I broke the steel-supported couch.
Year.
Yeah. Next year.
Yeah.
Mine was a podcast called Minds of Madness. Mm-hmm. And Nutbar loves this one. It's good. It has a lot of famous stories that you've heard and a lot that you haven't. And it's just done really, really well. And a lot of times they have actual audio from news of the crime or the... people themselves. Collier from, remember we covered the story of the little boy who heard his mom being murdered,
and then he that was his latest kind of
documentary maker too. He was just on the last episode, so he told his story of his dad killing his mother, and he was a witness, so horrifying. But it's really good. So it's called Minds of Madness, and they have 100 some episodes or so there's a whole lot that you can kind of just binge if you're cleaning or going on a trip or something, but it's pretty good, I think. Anyway,
I just keep the datelines just keep coming into my feed. Like, I swear to God, that's
I listen to those first.
Yeah,
and then I do these others.
Yeah,
like my Park Predators and Red Collar hasn't been on for a while. I like that one, and that one with that badass Candace DeLong.
Oh yeah,
and this one, Once Upon a Crime. I like Killer Psyche.
Did you see the brother of Marky Mark?
Yes.
Donnie, you know that podcast?
It's a show now.
Now it's a show. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On Discovery Plus.
So I'm going to have to watch that.
I will too. I think he's a good host.
Yeah, me too. I like him. He's likable. I have a confession.
Well,
last week.
Yeah.
You talked about your Cleo bars.
Yeah.
Being your glitter in the shitter. And I said, well, I won't eat them because I don't like that kind of stuff. And then Nut Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Loved them.
Of course.
And told everybody in our group text, like, that was the best. So I was like, fuck. Okay. Yeah. I'll try it. What is that
noise?
I'm
sorry. It's my microphone.
Oh.
I was just tightening it a little bit.
Oh, I thought it was the cat.
No.
And I was like, how is the cat doing that?
No, oh. I'm sure the cat was doing something.
Anyway, I tried a Cleo. I tried the strawberry Cleo with the
very
dark
good.
Chocolate.
The berry, yeah.
It was bomb.
Yeah, they're delicious.
It tastes like a cheesecake.
Yeah, it is like a little cheesecake. Yeah.
I loved it. Obsessed. Then my mom had one that had some sort of a crunch on it.
They have now, yeah, where it's like half crunch and then half yogurt.
I haven't ever had those. I didn't like that one as much. The strawberry one with the dark chocolate was like heaven.
They were so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good.
The vanilla is really good too.
I take it all back.
Yes.
I am sorry that I...
Well, it's a candy bar.
Said I was never going to try it. But I just was... I was not quite sure about the like refrigerated yogurt thing. Like it just seemed weird.
Well, yeah,
to me,
you probably picture like a Go-Gurt, which are grosser than shit.
Yeah. I just pictured like more runny.
It's like a cheesecake.
Yeah. And it was gorgeous.
Yes. It's very good.
And oh my God, I just saw that Valeska Griswold posted about Washington's teeth.
Oh.
I'm just reading it now.
Oh, yeah. There was hippopotamus.
Some of the teeth might have been Washington's own pulled teeth. I said hippopotamus, right?
Yeah.
Didn't I? Yeah. Or I said rhinoceros, maybe.
You probably said something dumb like that. Yeah.
Teeth of a cow, a horse, and a hippopotamus.
Yep.
And others may have come from enslaved people. What the fuck?
Oh, jeez. Oh, that kind of ruins it. Why did you take your teeth? Why did you have slaves? God.
That's the first question. Why did you have slaves?
Why did anyone think that was okay and normal? What the hell is wrong with people?
I don't know.
Jesus H.
And then...
Then you take your teeth
just
and you put
putting
teeth
other
in your
people's
mouth?
Teeth in your mouth.
What the hell's
is
wrong
disgusting.
With you?
Yes. No. No, no.
I'm going to say a thank you to Lauren V, listener Lauren.
Yes.
She found a very cute coaster that her deodorant delivered to me this morning,
oh,
too.
Really?
So I wanted to give a shout out to her. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
it's adorable.
Lauren.
I'll take a picture of it and put it on.
Yes.
And to Kim Dollander, I think I'm saying your name right. Maybe, probably not. She gave us the episode that we're going to do today.
Yeah,
the idea.
Thanks, Kim.
And we're going to do probably the second part of it next week. So she gave us this episode, which is good. All right. So we watched A Deadly Affairs, which is the Susan Lucci show on Discovery Plus, where Susan hosts and she does like a very soap opery skit, like credits, you know, and like bumpers or whatever, where she's always there with some half naked man and she's saying very much sexual innuendo and pretty much just saying boner, 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 boner. And she weighs 15 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
15 pounds at the most.
She's
very thin.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Okay.
Whatever.
Anyway, this is my number two show.
Yeah,
I think
this is a
Forensics
great show.
Files
yeah.
is number one, but this is my
this one's
second
so good,
favorite
it's
to recap.
So soapy.
Because it's just the reenactments. They always really go hard on the sex.
Yes, always.
Which Forensic Files never does.
No, of
right?
course
they
not.
They skip all those parts. So this is like heavy in the sex.
Yeah, and they're just overacting.
Yes, and horrible on the costumes.
And the sexual innuendos.
Yeah, it's just insanity.
Very good.
And I love it. Okay.
This one's called Achilles Heel. It's season 2, episode 5. Mm-hmm. There's always two stories per episode. So we're doing the second one this week, and we'll do the first one next week.
Yeah.
The year is 2002. So 20 years ago. 2002.
I can't even believe it.
Was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Two full decades. 2002.
Mm-hmm.
I think 1997 is just a couple years ago.
Me
and
too.
And it's not. It's 25 years
I know.
Ago. It's absolutely foul how old I am. this is terrible. Anyway, what happened in 2002? So we had... We've done a 2002, so I try to do movies that we haven't talked about. This is a movie I have never seen, but it has a cult following. It is a great classic called Crossroads.
With Britney Spears.
Yes, Britney Spears, Zoe Saldana, who's getting that Marvel money now. And Taryn Manning, who is in Orange and is the New Black.
Really?
I don't remember that at all. But poor Britney. If you currently follow Britney on Instagram, you might be as confused and horrified as I am. because she constantly looks like she's just done a quick roll out from under the dumpster. She's wearing clothes that not even a Cabbage Patch would wear. Like a country bumpkin Cabbage Patch wouldn't even put on these clothes. And she's wearing them and she's a millionaire.
Always with a choker.
Always with a choker. And she's wearing, I don't and know. Then and her mascara, pants are pulled down to her pubis area.
It's like she takes a piece of charcoal and just shoves it under her eye.
She takes like a black magic marker and just colors her eye. I feel bad for her because she does have some, clearly has some issues.
Me too.
But I just am always hoping for her, you know, like hoping she'll pull it together. I don't know. But you know, whatever, if she wants to dance weirdly looking like she rolled out of a dumpster, true. I guess she can.
What the fuck do we care?
I mean, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't know. When you have a lot of money and talent.
Well, also the sad thing is like clearly fame made her crazy.
Well, of course.
Like, the poor thing was like just this little cute thing from Louisiana and
yes, of we course. Ruined her. I know. Yeah.
Fame ruined her.
So she had
family
yeah.
ruined her.
Well, she was forced to perform when she was like 9 and support her family. She broke up with Justin that year, and then Justin, of course, comes out with his Justified album. That's a big hit, pretty much pissing on Britney. Lilo and Stitch, which was very cute, I thought.
Oh, I hate that movie.
I liked it. I liked Stitch.
I thought it was creepy.
Oh well. I liked it. The second Lord of the Rings movie, if you're into that. Eminem had 8 Mile with Brittany Murphy. I miss her. Scooby-Doo, which I had to watch 800 times because Rachel loves Scooby-Doo.
Like the movie Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, the movie Scooby-Doo. You know, with like, what's her name?
Freddie Prinze Jr. Yes, and the
Buffy.
Like.
Okay. Yeah. Christian Bale was in 2 pretty good sci-fi movies. One, Reign of Fire with Matthew McConaughey, and it had dragons in it. And another one called Equilibrium, which is kind of like a 1984-esque type. But if you like sci-fi, those were actually
Matthew
pretty
McConaughey
good.
Was in a movie with dragons?
Yes, he was. And he had a bald head.
Hmm.
Yeah. The Rock's first main movie, The Scorpion King. So The Rock has been in movies for 20 years.
Okay.
Doing pretty well. He's like number one, whatever, movie star right now. TV was The Osbournes were big. The Wire was on. It was big with Idris Elba.
He was in that?
Yes, he was.
I thought it was just Michael
he was in that.
Or whatever his name was.
No, he wasn't. That was The Shield.
Oh! Yeah.
The Wire is on HBO.
Movie? Oh, The Wire. Yeah. See, I don't know.
No.
Anna Everyone's Nicole. Yelling at me again. Yes. They're yelling at me just like they yell about Sam Elliott. You guys, I know his name
today.
We need
to have a picture of him on the wall with his name because we'll never remember it. We'll never remember
We should
remember
take
his
that
name.
New one someone put up when he was in the Baywatch movie.
Oh. Rosie O'Donnell came out as gay in 2002 and everyone went,
Shocker.
What? The main toy for girls was that fucking Rapunzel Barbie. God, I had that around. And Rapunzel Barbie movie, I'm sure Rachel watched all those goddamn Barbie movies.
It wasn't the real Tangled yet.
No.
Right? No.
No, it was just Rapunzel Barbie.
And like Barbie and the Seven Sisters.
Yes, all those
sisters.
Goddamn Barbie movies. And Barbie
the and
the Popper.
Popper.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I terrible. Know. Sadie watched those too.
Oh, the book The Lovely Bones, which was crushing.
Loved that book.
That was a hard
it
read.
It was hard to get
Jesus.
Through.
Jesus.
First
and
chapter.
J-Lo, getting into the music, was the first entertainer to have a number one album the same week as a number one movie.
What was her number one movie?
The Wedding Planner with
Matthew
J-Lo.
McConaughey.
Yeah, I mean, and then her J-Lo album.
Ah.
Were number one the same week. I had thought Barbara Streisand had done that, but they said no, she never did. But I thought she did. I don't know.
Hmm.
What do I know? What were we listening to?
We were listening to It's Getting Hot in Here by Nelly. So take off all your clothes. And then some other stuff like Why Does Everything Have to Be So Complicated by Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, she was big then.
Mm-hmm.
She dresses exactly the same and she's like 57. I feel like maybe she needs to dress yeah. more Estelle Getty.
maybe. I mean, she can needs, try it. Yeah.
Maybe she can have a black wicker purse.
She looks... She looks pretty much the same.
Exactly the same. Yeah. Which I guess is good.
Good for her because yeah. I look like shit. This CD was like, I played it nonstop for probably a year of my life.
And Gilbert Humperdinck?
No.
I know you had Engelbert on full repeat.
No, it was Nora Jones.
Oh, do you yes. remember? She don't was, yes.
Know I yeah. didn't come. I don't know. Oh,
that's right. What I else did she have come. After that? Or was she
I don't know,
like
but I
one?
Just, the I loved that whole record. Like, I played it nonstop. I would clean. I remember I was getting married to Dipshit. And yeah. we had to live in an apartment right before our wedding. And I was cleaning it and I just was so mad where I lived. And then, because I was like, why do I live in this shithole?
Yeah.
And, but I would listen to it and just clean and sing at the top of my lungs.
You know where I lived with my first husband? In a dumpster. And we would open the skylight.
I was gonna say,
and it was called
the
lid.
Ghetto,
yeah.
In the ghetto.
All right. Anything else?
And his mama cried. No. Did you know? Here's just a weird fun fact. The number one social media site in 2002 was Friendster.
What?
Did you even have no. you even heard of that?
No, I haven't. No. Did that. Was there a MySpace then? There had to be, right?
I think MySpace came shortly after, but Friendster was first. And then the average person spent 46 minutes a day online. That's it.
Oh, that's weird.
Isn't that yeah. crazy?
Probably because you had to log in and it would go,
and go do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
And you had to pay for every minute,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. So you wouldn't be on long unless you were on He-Man chat rooms, I guess. And you would lose track of the time.
Yep. Oh, look yeah. at the time. Yes. I'm not oh. talking about She-Ra anymore.
No. All right. Should we get into our episode?
Let's hear about this fucker.
All right. So this is Achilles' Heel, Deadly Affairs, Season 2, Episode 5. The second story is about Justin Barber and April mm-hmm. Barber. And as Susan Lucci describes them right away, she says, the beauty and the business major.
Weird.
But I feel that's... April Barber was also very lovely, but she was smarter even than she was lovely. Mm-hmm. And she was very beautiful. Like, she was intelligent. And this just makes it seem like she's just tits and ass.
No, I thought she was super cute.
Yeah, she was super cute, mm-hmm. but she also was incredibly intelligent.
Yeah, and her story was, like, sad before.
I know. So it's like...
It got sad.
Whatever, yeah. you know. But anyway, I get what she's saying. So yeah. we're going to start with our 22-year-old April Loth. And like we said, she's a very cute blonde. She has like curly blonde hair. I don't know if it was permed or was curly, but they describe her as young and healthy. That's weird. Like, okay. But she was also very intelligent. Mm-hmm. She grew up in Oklahoma, a really small town in Oklahoma, where she was, you know, described by her friends as an angel. Mm-hmm. So I think she was very helpful. In that way, she was also the most popular girl in class, which I usually mean to say she was the girl who gave the most hand jobs. But maybe in this school, it was different.
I don't think she did.
I don't think she did either, because she was also valedictorian mm-hmm. in top of her class. In high school, her mom passed away, so she also had to take care of all of her siblings while her dad worked. So I think that's where she got angel, because she also then kept obviously her grades up to be first in class, and then giving those hand jobs to be the most popular girl.
Oh my God, Sarah!
I just feel like that's what a popular girl
does. She was a mother to her poor siblings.
I'm sorry, but I feel like the most popular girl in grade, I feel like that's what ours were known for at my school.
Oh my God.
They certainly gave out hand jobs left and right.
I mean,
no one's gonna fight that. In the reenactment, they show her in a red cocktail dress for some reason in a field, putting a blanket down and reading a book. So I guess that's what a valedictorian in Oklahoma does. Puts on a bright red lipstick, red cocktail dress, and sits in a cow field reading. Maybe she was reading Ink Black Heart that I'm trying to read, and it's 1,012
pages. God, she couldn't even carry that out to the fucking tree.
No, you couldn't even carry it. You need one of those.
She took Sweet Valley High out there, Flowers in the Attic.
Yeah,
or something.
For sure it was Flowers in the Attic. Where Chris and Kathy, right? Chris and Kathy were the brother and sister porking.
Oh, God, I don't even remember their names. I don't know.
She went then to Oklahoma University in the spring of 1997, where she meets a very handsome grad student, 25-year-old Justin Barber. They show a picture of him, and he has very much Justin Timberlake hair, the blonde kind of curly pube hair of young Justin Timberlake. And he was very good looking. He had very cute eyes. But he was passable.
No Phil McDermott.
No, but you wouldn't turn him down, I guess.
Maybe.
They went on a double date. They knew mutual friends, which is always for a blind date, right. I think, helpful when you have a friend that knows the person.
Yes.
Although we did listen to that one Dateline we were going to do where that lady was introduced to that guy by her friends, and he was a total fraudster.
Yes.
But you're usually safe if your friends know the guy. Usually. But so they hit it off right away. He was getting his finance MBA. So he's a business major. He's really smart. They said he was super likable, down to earth kind of guy. She fell for him right away. We see commentary throughout this episode from a few people, like police officers. But then we see one from a professor, and his name is Richard Pryor. And he's not... Definitely not the Richard Pryor.
No, it was
Pryor.
Not. No.
Definitely not.
Nope.
Richard Pryor says by October of her first year, so right away, she is very much in love with Justin, and Justin is very much in love with April. We see a very real photo of them, and they're just as cute as can be. This cute couple that looks really happy and bright and... just like normal people,
they did look cute.
The next year, by Valentine's Day, 1998, so pretty quick, he proposes to her and gives her an Egyptian scroll or some sort of Greek scroll that he must have fought Medusa for. It was literally like a scroll in the reenactment with like fabric or tied around it. Of a psalm written in the shape of a heart, which maybe is cute. I don't know. I wouldn't say I don't care for this and thrown it on the ground. But she took it and liked it. And it was words of love and proposed to her. And in the reenactment, she is wearing a very tight blue cocktail dress with Beth Dunham cowboy boots. Did you notice?
She had cowboy boots on several times.
They were cute.
The only thing I liked about it.
Her cooch was showing in the blue dress.
The costumes on the show
inappropriate.
From the fucking dumpster.
Yes.
Like, no way would she have worn
She would not
the
have worn the
that
cooch.
They were making this woman wear.
No, this poor woman actress had to wear terrible clothes. And
Do
she
better.
Often had the halter tops where, I mean, her tits were struggling to stay in. It was a struggle to stay in those tops. And they were made out of terry cloth. Like, the terry cloth, it just... And this poor actress. Anyway, they get married on August 4th, 1999. Mm-hmm. Ready to start their lives in the new, century together. How exciting. Justin gets a very high up important job in finance in Georgia. And they're both like, fuck it. Let's move from Oklahoma to Georgia and start fresh there. So they move. April gets a really great job. She is a fucking radiologist and works at an oncology center treating cancer patients.
Right.
And then she has a second job as a private nurse for cancer patients. So my God, like, she's incredibly intelligent, working 900 hours
That's
a week.
Too many jobs.
Too many
April.
Jobs. But she's doing, I mean, really good work and helping these people. Because they're so busy and working all the time, they rarely ever see each mm-hmm. other. They're just not home when the other is home. And if they're home, they're asleep because right. they're exhausted.
Right.
And they just don't feel like talking. And it said, wasn't Richard Pryor, but another commenter said the days would go by where she didn't hear from her husband, or they weren't talking even on the phone because they would just miss each other, or one would be asleep and they just were having no connection.
And that was the happiest yeah. time of both of their
yes.
lives.
And that they didn't, they were young, so they didn't know that was a positive.
Yeah.
They didn't know.
They
didn't
that was
know.
Detrimental.
Yeah. They,
and boy,
yeah.
were they wrong.
They didn't know. She, of course, is starting to feel a little bit lonely because some people do want to spend time with their spouse. I mean, again, when they're young, they make that
mistake.
So she wanted to. Notice how Randy is now bunny yep. kicking my arm and yep. biting into my wrist.
Oh, my God. Why is he biting
because
you?
Because he's an asshole.
This oh. is inappropriate.
Well, I'm just, yes.
I'm going to take his picture.
God, he's a dick.
Yeah.
Justin, in 2001... there he's being polite now and sitting because mm-hmm. he knows you got the camera out, but I'm covering my mm-hmm. hand here. Gets a really good job, one he just can't turn down, but it's in Jacksonville, Florida. So it's several hours away from where they're living in Georgia. April cannot leave right now because she is, of course, has these two really important jobs. She's also studying to be a dosimetrist. Dosimetrist?
What the fuck is that?
Is that where you wax the pubes into the shape of a palm tree?
A medical...
I don't know
medical
what that is.
Medical dosimetrist is an analytical member of a radiation oncology team.
Oh. Well, that sounds really, really important.
This dosimetrist has an overall knowledge of math. What oh, is your cat doing?
He's freaking out. He's on the nip or something.
Oh, God. Math, physics, anatomy, and physiology. Radiobiology, and knows the characteristics and clinical relevance of radiation oncology treatment machines.
Holy shit. See what I mean? That
hell?
She's super smart.
This is something I didn't even know.
No, I didn't know this
existed.
Was a job. Good for these people who do this. My God.
Yes.
Thank God
yeah.
for these people that know how mm-hmm. to do this. So Justin moves to Jacksonville. She has to stay behind because she's
doing this.
He decides to just get an apartment up there, and she will either visit him on the weekends or he will visit her on the weekends,
right.
which several couples do
mm-hmm.
sometimes when one gets a job. And they just don't want to move their kids or move. And for a short time, mm-hmm. they will do that renting apartment thing. I've known some that have done that and been very successful.
Okay.
This wasn't a case of success.
Oh.
Because Justin, the instant he gets his single bedroom apartment, he starts getting a boner and gets a wandering wang. And his wang wanders to other gals.
Big
and
surprise.
He starts going, yeah, shockingly, he goes to clubs. And starts to try to be a player and ladies man. And he's going out to nightclubs and saying that he is single and he is porking some other gals.
They show him doing shots.
Shots, and he's getting drunk, getting some of these yeah. other gals drunk.
Like a total dumbass.
And does not say he's married.
No.
And is just, his wang is partying it up.
Yeah.
Justin, I guess, has to rent a car a lot. And I'm not sure why he wouldn't have his own car.
Hmm.
I'm confused on this, but he's renting a car a lot. So he goes to whatever the car rental place is, Enterprise or whatever, or Shit Car yeah. Central or whatever
yep.
it is.
Hertz.
Yep. Yeah. And the car rental manager that he deals with quite a bit is a 23-year-old. So a 23-year-old is managing this whole car thing. Maybe that's why it's always
that
fucked.
That could be an issue, yeah.
He meets 23-year-old Nicole Laren, who in the reenactment comes out, as they all do in Deadly Affairs, to a huge Beyoncé fan blowing their hair and their nipples in the wind.
Yeah.
She comes out in a red skin-tight shirt with a V-neck with her tits spilling out. And of course, if that is your rental car lady, a fellow might get excited.
I guess.
She had lovely flowing brunette hair.
Her outfit was 1,000 times cuter than any that they ever put.
Of course. And they did that on purpose, I'm sure. April.
April. God, I forgot her fucking name again.
So he gets a boner for her. And in the reenactment, Justin is introducing himself to her, and he reaches over and grabs her name tag on her tits. Please, sirs, don't ever reach your hand over to a lady you've just met and grab her name tag and touch her boobs. That is not a ploy that ever should work.
That's alarming.
It's horrifying.
And inappropriate.
But it works because Nicole bones him at the Enterprise.
Immediately.
Yes.
And the fucking old guy, was that Richard Pryor?
Yes.
Who had bad makeup on?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just like describing them, and he was getting his own boner.
He was getting a huge boner describing
them. They
were
like fire. Every time, yeah.
He was getting more and more.
Steam was coming out of there, or every orifice. And I was like, fuck Richard, gross.
Yeah, he was really romance book describing their porking and really liking it, Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
Justin was a frequent customer, I would say, and he started a hot and heavy affair with Nicole. Nicole does not know at first that Justin is married, but I think it is also Richard Pryor that says when she found out, she didn't give two fucks anyway.
Nope.
So it didn't matter.
It don't matter.
Yeah. They say later that April was thinking he was quite wealthy. So I think that's what she was in it for.
Well,
so
she was wrong.
We'll see. April would call Justin. So this is his wife, April, who is in Georgia in their home, and say,
working
900 jobs, saving people's lives
and going to school.
And she would say, I'm going to come visit you this weekend. I'm coming down to visit you. And Justin would be plowing Nicole at the time and would tell her not to visit. If I were April and my husband, who lives in an apartment that I saw on the weekends, would start telling me not to visit, I would say, okay, and then immediately drive down and surprise him.
Yeah.
And force my way in.
Absolutely.
And I would be there spying on him instantly.
100%.
She did not do that, but I would have instantly said, you're not telling me to come to the house that I rent or probably all pay for. No, that's not going to happen, you dill hole. And you would know immediately. But she did not do that. But she started talking to her friends that she was starting to have difficulties in her marriage. Things were kind of being weird. She does go on a weekend to visit Justin's apartment. And she finds a woman's earring in the sofa, just like a soap opera.
Bad news.
Yep. And it's not her earring.
Do you think I should have another Prosecco?
Yes. Go grab it. They're for you.
Okay. Keep talking, sister. Okay.
Justin, of course, pulls the... She was a friend and got drunk and spent the night on the couch. And thank goodness April sees that he's lying instantly and gets pissed and knows right then that he's cheating on her. And is furious. Nicole, of course, is finding out.
Why is that even a good story?
No,
like,
I mean,
you're still a married man.
Why are you drinking with some random single woman?
I don't care how drunk someone is. They don't come to your house.
Yeah. And what is this? Why are you doing that?
Do they?
Yeah. And who is this person? Like, that story doesn't work.
I mean, if it was like a family friend or something, who cares? But what?
Like my sister or something.
I wouldn't care if like Jamie got hammered and slept on my couch, but. No, no,
no, no, it's just not. No. Nicole, the mistress, didn't care at all what April thought. She couldn't give two shits, and she just wanted to be with Justin. She didn't care that Justin was struggling with April or that April was upset. She didn't care at all. April announces that she actually wants marriage counseling because their marriage is falling apart, but then quickly decides, fuck it. And she says, I'm moving back to Oklahoma. We're done. She even is looking at homes in Oklahoma, and she's just going to go back and say, it's not worth it. You're gross.
She wanted Bye. To be with Hanson again.
She did.
And that's okay.
Yeah, it is. Justin, though, decides follow for your some reason. Yeah. I mean, she should have. Yeah. Clearly, she should have. Justin begs her and says, I'm going to change. I know I've been a shitty husband. They show them kind of arguing, and now he's why? Following her around.
Why, Justin?
Why? Well, we
you
know
have
why
another
now.
Girlfriend.
That he doesn't want her to go.
We know why.
He's going to be a better husband. He'll change, and April listens and decides to stay.
Dumb.
I know it's hard to leave, but you deserve... She's an optometrist. She deserves
she's
better.
She's an optometrist.
She can get better.
Yeah.
I don't understand why she would stay with this cheating asshole.
That's... What she was going to be is even better than a forensic toiletologist.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, but she stays, and we know where this is going. Mm-hmm. Now, Nicole is seeing that Justin is starting to spend a lot more time with April, and that gets her very angry. So she's thinking that Justin has a lot of money and that he's dumping April, and she's going to move in and have a rich husband. But she's learning that April is visiting more and more and more. And Nicole's getting pushed out, and she gets really pissed and just kind of tells him, either you pick her or me. She realizes Justin is lying to her, and telling her all these different stories too. And so she gets pretty pissed. Mm-hmm. Justin, though, is telling April now that he's changed. He's going to concentrate on their marriage. He wants them to have a very special third anniversary. And so he says, I'm going to take you out to dinner. We're going to hang out with friends. And then we're going to have a very romantic walk along the beach. And she's like, oh, great. You know, wow. Okay. And she's very into it. So on August 17th, 2002, the reenactment shows they're going out to dinner. Again, their clothing does not match each other in appropriateness, meaning one's fancier than the other, nor does it match a fancy restaurant. So I don't know, but you know, the customers just were hammered.
Whatever. Yeah.
He gives her one rose that's not even really red. It's kind of a pinkish. And I thought, one rose? Get her a bundle of
you
them.
You can buy
Make
those
up for
like,
it.
From skimply like clad women at bars that
but
are
get
like,
your wife a better one
yeah
or get her something like a jewelry
yeah
I don't know they have a lovely dinner. They go to a place and play pool with some friends, but they only stayed for a very short time because Justin told April he wants to take her to this very isolated beach that is near his apartment. They could walk around and then pork in the sand. Which I don't know if I would want to pork in the sand outside on a beach and get sand in a cooch.
No.
I feel like getting sand in your butthole and cooch is just unfortunately itchy.
Water
and like crab,
sand,
crabs in your cooch
do not mix. It's not good.
No, I feel like that's a yeast infection and you get
it
like
sure
hermit
is.
Crab guts up in your butt.
It sure is. You don't know what's going up there.
No. Or like dead fish going to your butthole. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, God. Can you imagine the crabs in my
They
hemorrhoids?
Would pinch on your hemorrhoid. And then you'd
that
have a crab hanging.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Crabs and hemorrhoids.
And then your nipples
together.
Dragging in the sand would have crabs.
Yes.
Oh, that's unfortunate for people like we can't do this.
Nothing about that is sexy.
No.
Ogres cannot have sex on
No.
a beach.
They can't. Keep it to under the bridge.
Yep. That's where we belong.
The lights out.
Yep.
April and Josh take this nice romantic walk along the beach with the waves rolling in. April grabs his hand and then looks to the side, and there's a man standing there right next to them. April is startled and kind of hides behind Justin.
Yeah.
The man whips out a gun and starts waving it at Justin and April. And April's totally confused. She's behind Justin, and Justin decides he's going to lunge forward. So he lunges forward on the man, grabs the gun, and there is a struggle, like, again, in every soap opera, and the gun goes off. And there ends up being 6 shots total. Mm-hmm. The man ends up shooting Justin and April. Justin passes out. And by the time he gains consciousness, the man is gone. And he stumbles around in the dark looking for April. And he finds April in the water, kind of laying there, sand in the water.
Yep.
Face down. He looks for a pulse, none. Heartbeat, none. She's not breathing. He drags her body closer to the boardwalk and the stairs that lead down to the beach. So kind of up into the sand. Justin, though, is shot 5 times, and we'll find out where. And he realized he is bleeding and injured. April is dead. And so he decides to run as fast as he can up the boardwalk steps to get into his car. He gets into his car and he drives north 10 miles where he crashes his car, either from blood loss or something.
Right.
People come to stop and help him. And there are actual pictures and his front seat is covered in blood. Mm-hmm. And he says, my wife, like Borat, I guess. I don't know. And the motorists are like, what the hell? And he's like, my wife. And they call police. And the police finally arrive to the beach where April is, finding her dead there, her lifeless body. She's clearly dead. And she has a bullet hole right under her eye.
Fucking
She's
gross.
Dead at the scene. Yeah. Yes. Justin is immediately airlifted to a nearby trauma center where he's treated for his wounds. And they show a real photo of him. He actually weighs less than Susan Lucci. Did you notice? He is...
was 100% head and 0.01% shoulders.
Yeah, give or take 0.01%. Yeah. Yes. Yep. He weighs 18 pounds.
Insane.
And he had a terrible farmer tan. Like his head was bright red and his body was fluorescent white.
I'm also not a fan of his hair.
No, I mean, it was, if you know Justin Timberlake's blonde pube curly hair, that's his hair.
But uglier.
He's much, not a, it's not styled like
he doesn't have the swag.
Absolutely not.
Of Timberlake.
He is shot 5 times. He is shot in the right chest, right shoulder, left shoulder that shatters his clavicle or sternum, something there. Skip. And then right through his hand.
Like Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he actually has like Jesus a Barbie shot. Band-Aid on each one. Like tiny Band-Aids on each one. The wound, the holes themselves look like needle holes.
Yeah. It was weird.
Odd.
Yeah.
He's questioned by the police at the hospital. And the police start going to the scene and mark off the scene where she was shot and found as a crime scene. Mm-hmm. Justin's 5 shots must just not be shit because he's literally released from the hospital. He's shot 5 times and they just say, you're fine, go home.
You seem great.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So his shots are obviously not life-threatening at all. They take Justin immediately then when he's released from the hospital and he totally seems fine because this is on video.
Yeah.
He's moving fine. He's talking fine. And he is explaining the whole situation to the police, what happened and acting
like
it out.
Like he's on the beach.
Yes. The actual beach where it is. And again, like if I was shot through the chest in both my shoulders, I don't know. I feel like I would be sicker, but he doesn't even seem to be hurt.
Yeah.
His story starts falling apart in the eyes of the police pretty much instantly because he said this is a robbery, but they noticed April still had her wedding ring on and all sorts of jewelry. And they know his story doesn't make much sense. Police bring Justin in and say, Justin, have you maybe been seeing any other women at all? And Justin says no and denies it each time. I mean, no. But police learn about Nicole almost instantly. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, but they learned. And then they wonder, could she have helped? And she would have definitely had a motive to help him to show up and be the shooter and shoot Justin and shoot April.
Right.
Police bring her in and they find out that she has an alibi and she pretty much had nothing to do with it. And then Nicole dumps Justin immediately. They say she leaves and dumps him. Well, it took him doing this. I mean, you deserve better too, car lady.
Yeah.
What the hell? Now, when the autopsy report comes in, Justin's in even more trouble. They find April's body. First off, the way he described how she was shot, I couldn't make sense of. I don't know what the cop was saying. I couldn't make sense of it, but it ended up being if she was moving the way Justin said, for her to have the wound she had, she would have had been shot by someone who was underground.
Which doesn't make sense.
I don't understand. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So all the angles were off.
She was April's body shot didn't match. By a hobbit.
Yes, a hobbit living underneath.
In the sea.
Yeah.
It was the infamous killer sea hobbits.
Yes.
Look out for those fuckers.
Or Ariel was having an affair with Justin.
God.
She did.
Maybe it was Ariel.
She just couldn't fucking stand it. But Flounder, so that didn't make any kind of fucking sense. So obviously there, that's wrong. And so, in other words, she was shot from someone above her and she was down. Right. But he says she was up and shot, so the shooter would have had to have been way down underground. So it didn't make sense.
Whatever. Nothing
they,
makes
yeah,
sense.
They discovered that April also had a bunch of ocean foam and water in her lungs, which only happens if you are drowning in the ocean and struggling in the water and drowning.
Not shot in the sand.
No. And they want to know what could Justin's motive be. Well, first off, they realize he had an affair. They also see that he had $50,000 in stock losses recently and was in debt and had no money.
So you guys, what did he do?
He had coerced April into signing a $2 million life insurance policy.
Real.
$2 million.
And they have no kids.
They don't have any kids and they, I don't understand this.
No.
How are you paying for
insanity.
This?
Insanity.
I don't know. And it was signed recently. So they thought, that's a lot of motive. But they thought, what kind of a dumb asshole would shoot themselves 5 times? A stupid, stupid asshole. Yeah. Well, they took Justin's computer and all over this dumb asshole's computer. He was not only Googling porn, I'm sure, and gross butthole porn, probably.
And underground hobbit.
And underground hobbit porn.
Myths, yeah.
And aerial mermaid porn.
Yeah.
He also Googled, how do you pretty much shoot yourself in the dick without being hurt and inflicting wounds on yourself?
Where can you shoot yourself and not die?
Yeah. And he looked that up. And he clearly did it right because he was shot 5 times and sent home like the next day.
Right.
He didn't shoot himself in the dick, but I felt he should have.
That or would into have been the butt. Only fair.
Yeah. Yeah. After a 2-year investigation, I feel like, does it need 2 years? I felt like it needed 30 minutes. He's arrested in July 2004. What the prosecutors say he really did is he took April on their walk on the beach, brought her closer to the water, and that's where he forced her down and tried to drown her in the water. When she passed out, he drug her back up towards the boardwalk and that's where she was laying down in the sand and from above he shot her in her face and then he shot himself 5 times and I don't understand. There has to be easier ways, sir.
I don't know.
You don't need to shoot yourself 5 times. You can't just get, she did want to leave, you can't, but then he won't have $2 million.
Right.
I don't understand. I just feel like shooting yourself 5 times.
That's
seems like a
lot
very
of times.
Much...
Like one time I would have been like, all right, yeah. That's probably good.
It just
good
seems
enough.
Like a lot.
I took one for the team. Yeah. Now I'm going to peace out.
I don't understand.
He kept going. He was in it to win it.
Yeah. I just don't understand this.
Yeah.
So he is convicted of first degree murder, and they show his mugshot, and he looks like almost a different person. He is shaved bald, and he's gained like 40 pounds.
He looked way better.
He looked 1,000 times better.
To be honest, he looked better.
He's going to get all the chicks in jail. Yeah.
Or dicks.
Or smelly underwear delivered to him. I don't know. But that dick's in jail, so... I don't understand why he had a really good thing and fucked it up so bad over boobs, someone's car manager boobs.
So bizarre.
I don't understand.
It doesn't. Yeah.
And she would have made a lot of money when she had her degree.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand this.
It was.
I never will.
Me neither.
Oh, well. Anyway, that's our story for this week.
Thanks for the rec on this one.
And we will do the other part of this show next week that had some more quality wigs.
Just a real doozy, just like deadly
affairs.
God, I always get fatal vows and deadly affairs.
There's fatal vows, deadly affairs, and then there's a third one that I get all mixed up.
Like a murder by your wife or something.
Yeah. There's another one that we want that is always killer, like that.
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway,
I love them all.
Yeah, they're good.
But this one's
very good because it's very much like a Days of Our Lives gone bad.
Yep. Yeah, it sure was.
It is. All right. Well, we'll see you next
week. All right. Don't forget to join Patreon and join our Facebook and share and give us some great recs on wherever you listen to your podcast.
Or if you see a show that works for us, you can always
send us a message.
We love it because
we do.
We're watching all of these and. Any help we can get is great.
Scream laughing. Yeah. All right. We love you guys. Bye.